Now we don't have to, we could just say up to a maximum of years, and you could do a three-year renewal, one-year renewal, two-year renewal. So it's up to the agency, and obviously the vendors agree too.
I see there was one Illinois company that failed to complete their submission correctly. Is that?
Yeah, there was two vendors who were not evaluated. One and still wasn't evaluated because they were non-responsive to the BEP requirement. So CMS deemed them non-responsive since they didn't demonstrate a good faith effort. The other vendor had two reasons for rejection. One, they didn't submit any financial disclosure forms, which they're required to do so. And they, too, were also non-responsive to the BEP requirement. So therefore, they were not evaluated. Okay, so the 11th item is an award of a 12-way request for proposal to conduct an OAC's fuel lease audit. This service will be performed to conduct a financial audit limited to the rent payments from the OAC's master fuel lease agreement. Purpose of the audit is to ensure that the tollway is receiving the monies entitled to it under the terms of the agreement. Award is recommended to Cohn Resnick LLP in a total amount not to exceed $70,900. The vendor has committed to the 30% BEP goal established for this contract. 12th and final item is a tollway emergency.
Is this something we've done before?
Have we done it before? I know we have for the actual pavilion there.
Right,
but not for the fuel stations.
So this was something that we were, we decided when we did the pavilion audit that we would also, you know, audit the fuel concessions. So, and that was some time ago that we made that decision.
Yes.
So we're happy. We're very happy to have this.
I almost forgot about
today.
This one.
So,
good. And when are we likely to get the report on this?
I would think by, it's late, depending on when the notice of award is given, within 3 months.
So they'll go out and do it in the next 3 months? Months after the time that they are notified of the award?
According to their schedule, it looks like it'll take them a month to actually go out and do the testing and, you know, observe and then provide us with some preliminary results before they issue the final report.
Can we confirm the expiration date? It doesn't seem, I may be wrong, but... I know it's not a huge issue, and I'm hopeful that we can still move it and just make sure that that's correct. But the expiration date here looks, I understand when we expect the report, but the actual expiration date of the contract, I just want to make sure that's right.
You know, I did check that, Christy, and the vendor committed to, 3 weeks to complete the whole project.
I just want to make sure that we've given it ample time that we don't have to come back and amend. So I just, that wasn't my understanding of when the expiration date would be, but that maybe that's correct. I just wanted to.
We'll verify that.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure. So the 12th and final item is a tollway emergency to replace two vehicle hoists at our M3 site in Park Ridge. This site has two vehicle hoists for medium and heavy duty trucks. While one hoist has been inoperable for quite some time, the second hoist recently failed and it's not worth repairing. Also, the contractor needs to break apart the concrete and remove the vaults from the ground. It makes economic sense to replace both of these hoists at the same time. Both hoists are critical to the fleet maintenance operation for servicing vehicles in an efficient and effective manner. Award is recommended to Standard Industrial and Automotive Equipment Incorporated in a total amount not to exceed $145,000.
This became an emergency because that equipment failed?
Yeah, so we were essentially operating with one of the hoists. You know, and we're preparing an IFB to replace that second hoist and a few other hoists throughout the system. And then this second hoist failed at that site. So when our plow trucks or roadway maintenance trucks need to be repaired at that site, the mechanic is essentially getting a floor jack and taking like 30 minutes to raise the vehicle so he can even get under it. And, you know, it's not efficient for them. So we decided, my question at first was, why can't we just replace one of these right away and include the other one in the bid? But the problem is, when the vendor comes in, they have to break apart all that concrete and remove the vaults. And if they would only do one, they'd have to do the same job the second time. So it made sense to do them both right now, and we're going to be issuing a solicitation in the near future to replace three more hoists at different sites.
Thanks, John.
Sure.
Any questions about procurement, any items? When we take these items, can we take them? We need to take them individually? Or can we take any opposition to taking them? Anybody need to recuse themselves or anything? No. All right. Therefore, let's under procurement items, take items 1 through 5, since 6 is, let's take items 1 through 5 at this time. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent agenda. Items under procurement 7 through 12. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So
moved. Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent agenda. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Engineering, Paul.
Thank you, Director. Good morning. Engineering has 21 items today, and as I mentioned during that unbundling presentation, 10 of these contracts are going to be representing some of these this unbundled work. Item 1 is the first one. Item 1 is a construction contract award, and this is for doing some drainage improvements along the Tri-State Tollway near Rexford Road. And we did get 5 bids on this contract, and Earthworks Land Improvement and Development, they are a small business enterprise, is the low bidder at $745,463.20. They're committed to meeting our DB goal. This is going to be the first tollway contract for this firm. They have extensive experience in this type of work, and we confirm that they have both the qualifications and the financial capacity to do this contract. They even sent in a letter letting us know they're very excited about this and this opportunity, and they plan on doing a great job for us.
Great. Thanks.
Item number 2 is a construction contract award. This is for drainage and guardrail improvements. This work is going to be located on the Reagan Memorial Tollway. That's I-88. We received 3 bids. Civil Contractors is the low bidder at $435,191.80, and they are committing to meet our DB goal. Well, the next 2 items are pavement marking contracts. These are annual contracts. We roughly have to refresh about a quarter of our system every year. Item 3 is a construction contract award for the installation of pavement markings on the Reagan Memorial Tollway and the Veterans Memorial Tollway. Road Safe Traffic Systems was the low bidder at $2,775,000, and they are going to commit to meet our DB goal on this contract.
And this, how often are these pavement markings removed and replaced? And
yeah, I think
how often is this taken?
We do about a quarter of the system every year. So we have these
4 years, every 4 years, and in that same area.
Yep, we'll be coming back.
And the life of these replacements, is that due to the weather and plows and
yes.
traffic and trucks? Okay.
Yes.
You get warned.
We try to break it up. I noticed, you know, there's only 2 bidders on this contract. This might be an area where, you know, there's additional opportunities for others to get involved with our work, so we can start reviewing, you know, who picks up plans and finding out, you know, whether or not, you know, they're interested in doing this work or why they didn't do this work. But they are annual contracts, and there's always going to be these opportunities. So item 4 is the companion contract for pavement markings, and this is going to be on the Bensonville Bridge to Lake Hook Road. I believe that's on the Tri-State Tollway. And from Half Day Road to Rosencrans, we received 2 bids. AC Pavement Striping is the low bidder at $2,670,822.83, and they are going to commit to meet our DB goal. Item 5, this is a construction contract award. We're going to reconstruct a portion of the exit ramp on I-88 onto Highland Avenue, and sections of the westbound exit and entrance ramp at Spring Road. Both of these locations are along I-88, very close to where we're at right now. We did receive a few bids on this contract. I noticed that 2 of them were DB or MBE firms. They were not, however, successful. The low bidder is FH Passion S.N. Nielsen in the amount of $1,219,058.30. They're committing to meeting our DB goal. I will point out that they are teaming up with a DWBE firm, Catco Development. They are a new subcontractor for the tollway, but they do specialize in excavation and sewer installation and repairs.
Paul, can I go back to
yes.
the pavement markers again and
yes.
the scope on both? Why is the scope different on both? Is it?
I believe one of them One of them is just for the...
Different types of repairs, different types of removals, replacements, that, is that way you have different scopes for each pavement marking?
Yeah, we, one of them is going to be installing some raised pavement lane markers. They help delineate the lanes.
But you're not going to do on the Reagan, on 8th?
And the other one is just simply, we don't need to install the raised pavement lane markers, we just need to put, refresh the striping itself.
On that one, okay, thanks.
I believe I was up to item number 6. That's a construction contract. This is for some additional ramp improvements, reconstruct the exit ramp on I-88 and to southbound I-294. Connect a roadway to York Road and the Reagan Memorial Tollway. Work is going to include reconstruction of the ramp pavement, some additional shoulder improvements and upgrades to the drainage system and guardrail removal. R.W. Dunteman was the low bidder at $485,799.73, and they are going to meet our DB commitment. Our DB low.
I know we hold the primes accountable on the capacity and management of, I see the subs. And see multiple subs on multiple contracts, just want to monitor their capacity.
You said it, and we hold the primes accountable,
right,
for making sure that the work can get done in a timely manner within the established bids that they give us.
Okay.
And we haven't experienced any problems yet in that respect on any of our jobs, but we will have to monitor that as we begin to put out more and more work.
Right.
Item 7, construction contract award, reconstruct exit and entrance ramps at 3 locations on the Tri-State. Our work includes installing some precast panels here. FH Passion SM Nielsen was the low bidder at $2,038,364.79. They committed to meeting our DB goal.
Why was our engineer estimate off by so much?
I did get some, we believe that the engineers underestimated the impact that the travel time would have or the distances between these ramp locations would have on the contractor's ability to do that work.
The bids are clustered together pretty well.
Which indicates that, you know, at least all the contractors are viewing the work in the same manner. So we looked into that. Both of them feel that we are getting good prices on this, and they do recommend that we award it, and we do have it within our budget to do this work. Item 8. This is a construction contract award, reconstruction of 4 ramps along the Tri-State. This is near the interchange with 90 and 190 in River Road. The DMBE firm Acura was the low bidder at $3,939,531.08. They are, since they are a DMBE firm, they won't have any issues meeting our DB goal on this. Item number 9 is a construction contract award. This is for the relocation of 4 of these ITS devices that we have mounted on poles adjacent to the roadway. They actually hold up these remote traffic microwave sensors that we have, which measure the volume and speed of traffic. 2 closed circuit TV cameras are also going to be adjusted with this contract. Mead Incorporated is the low bidder at $399,230.10. They are also committed to meeting our DB goal on this. Item number 10, this is a construction contract award. They are going to construct 2 northbound ramps, 147th Street to I-294 and also I-57 to I-294. Work includes installing some new toll collection infrastructure and buildings. Work under this contract is a continuation of our I-57 294 improvement project. Lori Construction is the low bidder, $20,975,879.13, and they are going to commit to meet our DB goal on this contract. Item 11 is a construction contract award. This is for reconstruction of ramps along the tri-state near the interchange with I-55. R.W. Dunkerman is the low bidder on this contract at $9,707,465.28. They're also going to be meeting our ED goal, I think is a rounding. They came in at 17.99. Item number 12, construction contract award. This is for the two southbound ramps at the large system interchange improvement at 294.57. This will also include some installation and toll collection infrastructure and buildings. We did get five bids on this contract. Lorig was again the successful low bidder at $22,628,727.27. They are committed to meeting our DB goal. We'll note with this month's board recommendations for award, all the work that we committed to getting done at 294.57 before in these first 2 years of our program are going to be under contract. So we're on schedule and on track to deliver those improvements that we identified in the Move Illinois program.
Right.
Out of curiosity, why would companies bid on only one of these? There are a couple of companies. I mean, I see that a number of them bid on both ramps. Aren't they right in the same area? Wouldn't it just be cost efficient to bid on both?
Are you referring to?
I'm sorry, to 10 and 12? Are these, I got the wrong places here.
So 10 was?
Was the northbound Tri-State and 12 was the southbound?
So we had Lorig and in some respects it does, I think both of these jobs are pretty similar as far as like the work requirements. I know that sometimes, you know, if the job has more asphalt work in it versus concrete work, it might be more attractive to some contractors other than others. Mm-hmm. And I saw that happening even on the earlier contracts with the ramps. Some of the improvements were involve more asphalt work than concrete work, and that will change who bids on it.
Okay, thank you.
Item 13, this is another construction contract award. With this contract, they are going to be upgrading our fuel systems to enter into a lease agreement and to cure this encroachment. The farmer's farm encroaches on this parcel, and actually this lease agreement began back in 1998. So we're seeking a resolution that will provide the Towways Land Acquisition Manager and General Counsel to the authority to prepare any and all documents necessary for the tollway to continue this five-year lease renewal or enter into a new lease with Gary Hines of Hines Farm. So 19 is a very similar explanation. On the item number 19, we're asking for the board to approve a resolution that will provide our Tollways Land Acquisition Manager and our General Counsel with the authority to prepare any and all documents necessary for the tollway to enter into a five-year lease renewal extension and or a new lease with Ray Humphrey of Humphrey Farms. And item number 20 is very similar, and this is, we are seeking the same approval from the board to allow our land acquisition manager and general counsel to prepare the new five-year lease or renew this existing lease with Mark Mostert and Nancy Mostert. And that's for parcel T1A87. Do you have any questions on the lease?
I don't have any questions on the lease arrangements, anyone? Okay.
So item number 21, we want to seek the board's approval to amend resolution 19845 to provide cost clarification for a contract renewal item that I brought to the board and recommended approval back in December 2012. view this primarily as a bookkeeping effort, although we did coordinate this with the Procurement Policy Board and also our Chief Procurement Officer, and we recommend that we go back and update the resolution to read as such. So this was a renewal or a request for additional funding that we asked for ACON Technical Service there, a general consultant. There will be no change in the dollar limit here, but what I want you to approve is we're going to modify the resolution to say that $2,581,979 is going towards amending their existing contract so that they can continue to provide this general engineering consultant services through the end of the initial term of their contract, which is going to go through the end of 2013, and then $11,543,514.33 is going to go towards the renewal portion of this contract, which is going to carry them through the end of 2014. So it's necessary in the best interest to accept this proposal for this contract amendment and renewal to ACON Technical Services.
Can you walk us through? Also, the upper limit here is $36 million. Is that what the original award was?
That's what I...
And so you're doing amendments to the contract?
So
this is just the technical language of the resolution. Yeah. That's the Procurement Policy Board, or that we've been led to believe the CPO and Procurement Policy Board are going to want. So it doesn't change the dollar limit that we sought and was approved by the board previously. It just clarifies the dollars in the different years.
Yes. So their original contract with us was for $22,765,478. And in December, we asked you to authorize increasing this limit to $36,890,971.33. And that was to address additional services that they are providing to us since their contract was entered into before the Move Illinois program. Now that we have the Move Illinois program and the number of contracts that we're doing has increased dramatically, their services or the amount of work that they're doing for us has increased, so we asked you to give us additional money to carry them through the rest of their original term, which was to end at the end of 2013, and to give us approval to enter into the allowable one-year renewal of their contract, which will carry us through the end of 2014.
And the technical services they're providing now are?
They serve as our general engineering consultant. They provide us with both custom venture services and also additional professional services. Some of the things that they do are they go out and inspect our system on an annual basis, and they issue a report, an annual general engineering consultant report, which documents to us and also our bondholders that, you know, this is the condition of our assets and this is, you know, the work that's required to keep them in a state of good repair. They also review a lot of our design documents for us. They're kind of the keeper and the holder of all of our standards and our specs and our engineering manuals, policies, and procedures. So they've been, they have a lot of experience with our tollway work. They've been doing a great job for us. It's a very critical service to us. I didn't have any issues recommending that we renew their contract for one more year and carry us through the end of 2014. And as I mentioned,
so this is just a question of when the cash flow occurs.
Yes,
we're moving the $2 million into 13, and then we're keeping the rest of it in 14.
Correct. The total stays exactly the same. It's just that I need to tell you that the $2 million, $2.5 million, mm-hmm. is going towards 2013 services, which, you know, they had partially covered within their existing contract, and then the remainder, the $11.5 million, is going towards providing the service to us in 2014.
And when we first voted on it, we had the larger amount just for 14.
We did not break out these two separate
years.
By year.
Yes.
We didn't break it out by year at all.
Okay.
So for clarity, I don't think have gotten 100% confirmation that we even need to do this.
That's correct.
But in just trying
spirit of cooperation.
Right, and trying to just make sure that we don't run into any more challenges and delays in procurement, we're just making this clarification.
That's correct. And if we were to run out of funds on this service, it would not be very good for the engineering department.
Thank you.
That's cool. Any questions regarding engineering items?
Just a question on the two contracts with Laura Construction.
Yes.
Has there been any type of communication with Lorig in terms of their problems bringing more of a diversity into their meeting their goal? I know they meet the 18%, but it seems like on both of those contracts, the African-American companies are getting even the lower part, even on the 18%. Is there any kind of communication with Lorig that they're having trouble finding African-American firms, especially when they're out there on 294, I-57?
I think we've emphasized to these contractors, director, that we'd love to see, you know, as much diversity on these contracts as possible. When we set the DBE goals, they are set as DBE and the WBE goals. So it's up to them to select the contractors, and we don't direct them as to what.
Direct them.
Not
to direct them, but so it's.
You know, clearly.
Because one thing I don't like, it's, you know, when you see that the 18% is met and that the 3% of the 18% is not even a percent. And of a $20 million contract, the African-American firm is only getting us probably about $100,000 off of those $20
million. If I'm reading it correctly.
Yes.
Why don't we talk about the legal requirements of the DBE program?
Well, sure. I think the director's comments are well taken. We do try to run our program to be as inclusive as possible. I know with respect to our outreach activities, it is wanted. As far as how the actual contracts themselves play out and what's submitted, the executive director is spot on. We do put a DBE program out there. It does have legal constitutional aspects to it that we have to stick with, and thus we're not able to give targeted goals to particular minorities, et cetera. But I think Gustavo and his team need to continue to emphasize on behalf of the management and the board that we'd like to see as good a diversity within our diversity as possible. I think that's kind of where our responsibility has to go up to that line, and leave it to our partners to try to comply with letter and spirit when they can.
And I know that on a general basis, it is a topic that's discussed when we meet with the road builders, and they're very much aware of how what our position is on this. And we do not dictate exactly who they utilize on their bids. They recognize that this is their initial commitment. You know, it does not reflect exactly, you know, how the final goal might turn out to be. Lorig has demonstrated a lot of good faith in our past contracts, and they have been one of the ones who have taken the most advantage, I think, of our earned credit program. So they do good work too. And at the end of the day, you know, and they're the little bidder, they did excellent work for us on our tri-stage bridges that we did at the big system interchange at O'Hare Airport. And
when we look around the rest of the state, IDOT, CDOT, the other big contractors, do we see the same kind of percentages?
Same pattern. Especially as it relates to African Americans. Same pattern. Same challenge.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions?
You know, I had one question on the very first contract with Earthworks.
Yeah.
Now, I know they're a new partner to us, but it just seems like it's a pretty big disparity that their bid's 25% below the estimate, and everybody else was 25% over. I'm just wondering, would you review that with someone? It's that big a disparity in contract like that?
We do review all the bids. All the little bidders that we get, and we have our designer review it and provide us with the recommendation, and we also have our program management offices do the same. And both of them said, although it is very low and did not match the engineer's estimate exactly, they felt that they didn't leave any work items out of their bid, and that's why I had them double check on the qualifications and the capacity of this firm. And I did get a letter from the firm saying that, you know, they recognize what the work is. This is exactly the type of work that they do, and they're very good at it, and they don't feel like they have any issue getting this work done for us. We do, of course, share all of the bid evaluation information with our construction manager so that they're aware of, you know, maybe individual items that look like, you know, they bid them low to make sure that, you know, the work gets done. I mean, we did, this contract also is for drainage improvements adjacent to the tollway. It's not going to put the tollway at big risk or the motoring public at big risk if they are not able to follow through on this, but they've given us all indications that they will, so.
To go back to the previous questions that were being asked, it does look like there are only 7 African-American firms that are pre-qualified with IDOT as of July of last year. So, you know, I do think that it's potentially, as was mentioned, a trend, but also a larger issue of, you know, the balance of capacity. And I know IDOT is also looking at their pre-qualification process to see, you know, if it is as fair as possible. So I do think that there are issues in that vein as well that need to be addressed. It's not, the answer is not a simple one, clearly.
Okay.
Thank you, that's
okay. Any further questions? Thanks, Paul. Any opposition to taking these items on the board? Would you like to take them individually, or would you like to take them 1 through 13 on the contracts? Okay. Therefore, in engineering, we'd like to give the motion to approve items 1 through 13. Do I hear a motion to approve?
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to full consent agenda. Items 14, 15, and 16 are for partial and final release retainers. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion moves. Passed. Moves to the full consent agenda. Item 17 is going to be deferred to the next week's board meeting, the executive session. Items 18, 19, and 20 are lease agreements. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent. Item 21, a resolution amending for additional cost clarification. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays. Motion passes. Moves to the full consent. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Legal.
Thanks, Director. We have 4 IGAs for the board's consideration. The first one relates to the topic that our guest, Mr. Byer, spoke to at the top of the meeting, which is an IGA with tollway, the City of Elgin, and the Kane County Forest Preserve. This will enable the tollway to receive 2 basic permits needed in connection with work on the I-90 expansion. The price for the tollway will be $2.6 million, essentially aiding in land acquisition with the City of Elgin, and work will be performed over many acres out in Elgin, both by the contribution of certain of that land to form a conservation easement, as the gentleman was discussing, and some other work to be done by the Kane County Forest Preserve, all which will inure to the benefit of the tollway as far as credits that will be recognized by the Army Corps of Engineering. Our second one is an IGA with the Village of Hoffman Estates. This is also with respect to work on I-90 at Barrington Road. Pursuant to the tollway's interchange policy, Hoffman Estates will be splitting certain design engineering work with us. The total cost of this, what we call Phase 2 engineering, $3.5 million. Hoffman Estates aspect will be 1.75, and the tollways will be 1.75. Number 3 is an IGA with IDOT. This is in connection with bridge enlargement at 90 and 39. IDOT has requested the tollway accommodated by making the bridge a bit larger than we ordinarily would for our own purposes to accommodate future expansion that IDOT may perform on Route 20. So we are doing that. The cost of the additional work is wholly IDOT's in the amount of $667,000. And our fourth one is an IGA with the Village of Posen in connection with work 294 and 57. This is essentially some administrative land transfers that the tollway will take title to land today titled in the Village of Posen's name so that we can do various movements of utilities, water and sewer in connection with the work down there. No cost to the tollway, just straight land transfer through the IGA.
Thank you. And that's village, village-owned land only?
Village of Closing Land only, yes. You may have received an exhibit that had various parcels owned in that we're dealing with down in Closing, both individually owned and village-owned. I think we've cleaned up the Exhibit A. If it hasn't, it will certainly be in the final agreement, just dealing with those portions indicating the village of Closing was the owner. That is our four IGAs. We have a fifth one, which we were hopeful to bring to you a settlement. There's some final tweaking. I think I'm comfortable that we'll present it to the full board next week in executive session of workers' comp settlement.
On the interchange with the Village Hoffman Estates, is that a toll, those toll ramps?
They will be. Our Director of Engineering can tell me if I have that wrong, but I understand those will be fully tolled.
The new ramps?
Would be. And some of this is, we've been working with all the communities along the I-90 corridor who have articulated at any point in time that they wanted to have an interchange or full interchange, additional access. And we're trying to get intergovernmental agreements in place because they may not be ready to move forward right now with the full cost share. But we want to, as we do our reconstruction, we want to accommodate the potential for, you know, whatever interchange improvement there, but we also want those incremental dollars that we're spending to count toward the 50% costs that we would be incurring, you know, as our portion of the split. So this is something that I don't know that the village is necessarily ready right now or have all the details worked out of how that cost share would work, but we are trying to solidify these IGAs so that our costs and the money that we're putting toward these interchanges will ultimately go to that 50%, be debited against that 50% cost share that we typically use for interchanges. Is that a good
That's area? Correct. And especially on this one, you know, our two options are we gap the work in this area and we come back later and do it, or we try to get them on the same schedule as us so that when we're out there rebuilding 90, this all gets incorporated into it. So we only disturb the motoring public at one time.
Does the cost for the design, is construction also 50-50 or just the design?
This would follow our interchange policy, which says that we will pay up to 50% and then the locals or IDOT will have to match.
Is there any revenue sharing from the toll ramps at all?
I don't think we're that far along in the development of the full agreement that we'll need for this interchange to say if that's a part of it or not.
Yeah, Paul's exactly right, Director. This is just dealing with what we call phase two engineering, and there will be subsequent IGAs if and when we get to that kind of stage of planning.
Thank you. Any questions about the IGAs? Okay. There being no questions about the four items under legal, do I hear a motion to approve items 1, 2, 3, and 4?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent agenda. Item 5 will be deferred to next week's board meeting. Thank you, David. Any unfinished business? Any new business? There's no executive session needed today. Therefore, we have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.